We're about to begin Yeshaya, Perek Yud, tape number 15. The Navi had described the faults of the Aseres HaShvatim, the 12 tribes, and reiterated a number of times, three times to be precise, B'chol zos lo shov apa, with all of this, Hashem's anger didn't turn back, V'od yado netuya, and His hand is still outstretched to give more punishment. We now begin the final, I guess, warning to the Aseres HaShvatim, the final message. Hoi hachokikim chikike oven. Woe is to those who inscribe false inscriptions, which the Malbim understands it to mean that they make false laws. They make their own set of laws connected to the Torah. Omachatzim omol kitevu. And they write fraudulent documents. It's interesting, this year comes out in between Parshas Yisro, where Moshe Rabbeinu was told to appoint, to set up judges based on with Yisro's counsel. Moshe Rabbeinu set up the court system. And the Parsha of Mishpatim, where we deal with the actual laws of the Torah. I heard recently there was an incident in somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. A man had a dog that was a domestic dog, and the dog bit somebody. And the Agar article discussed, I guess they went to a Beis Din to know what Beis Din would say. And Lahavdil, they went to a regular secular court to know, is the owner of the dog responsible to pay? But there are, the Torah has laws for all these, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, all of the interpersonal relationships, all of the laws of torts and damages. In fact, my Rebbe Rav Palm used to speak a lot, especially these parshas, Yisro and Mishpatim, about money matters, about going to Beis Din. If a person has a question in law, he should go to Beis Din. And in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Chavov, it mentions how a person has to go to Beis Din, not to the secular courts. And Rabbi Akiva Eger over there mentions the following words. He says, V'im hotzi momen al yedei din arkos. If a person gets money through the courts, im ein kach, im ein kein b'dinei Yisrael, if that's not the law of the Torah, hamomen gezel b'yado. So the money that he got from the court is stolen, because the Torah doesn't entitle him to it. V'im kidesh b'zeinu mukudeshes. And if a guy used that money, the court awarded him a settlement from another Jew, and he took that money from the court, and he used that to be Makadosh a woman, Rabbi Akiva Eger says she's not married, because that has to be your money. The chassan has to give the woman his money. V'hu posel la'edus kamo kol gazlin. And he's posel fa'edus like any gazlin. Hoi ha'chokikim chikike oven. Woe is to those that inscribe their own laws. Their laws of falsehood. Very often a person knows that if he works with the laws of the Torah, he won't get the money. And he's out to make his own laws to somehow profit. Umachatfim amol kitevu. And those who write fraudulent documents, they make forgeries. Could be the person rationalizes he's really owed the money. But if it's a fraud, if it's not an honest document, woe is to such a person. Lahatos midin galim. And their intention is, they want to deprive, they want to tilt the law. Lahatos midin galim. The poor should be, the justice should be subverted. V'ligzo mishpat aniya yami. And to steal the justice of the aniya yami, the poor of my nation. You see, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeling the pain of the victim, of the common people, of Klal Yisrael. They're stealing the mishpat, the proper judgment of Aniya Yami. It's my nation. The poor of my nation. Lios almonos shalolam. They want the almonos, the widow who doesn't have a husband to defend her. The almonos should be shalolam, who those that they take the spoils from the almona. Ves yisomim yavozu. and they plunder the Yisomim, the orphans who don't have a father to defend them. The Gemara says if somebody goes to Beis Din and he loses the case, he should really go out singing. In other words, if there was a chance if he would have, in other words, if he loses the case and he pays, so he knows he's certainly clear of any money. In other words, Beis Din said he has to pay and he paid. So there's certainly no blame on him. But the person has the nature, obviously here it's carried to the extreme, the terrible extreme, but obviously a person always looks to win the case and to get whatever money he could. They're looking to be chikikim chikikei oven. Perhaps they could make a statute or a law that doesn't fit with the laws of the Torah, lahatos midin dalim, and therefore as a result, the poor and those that shouldn't lose will lose, but the law is to his benefit. Umatasu liyom pekuda. But what are you going to do, liyom pekuda, when the day of reckoning comes? Uleshoa mimercha tavo, and the catastrophe from far away comes. Amitanu sul Ezra, to who are you going to flee for help? Va'ana sazvu kvodchem, where are you going to leave your honor? You're so involved, Aseres HaShvatim was so involved with their honor and their kavod. As we mentioned in the previous perek tes, pasuk tes, the people in Ephraim and Shomron said, Levenim nafalu. The enemy came, the bricks have collapsed, they've knocked down buildings, but Vigozi Snivna, we'll rebuild it with even better materials. We'll take hewn stone instead of those bricks. Shikmim gudo, I'm just quoting in perek tes. The sycamore trees were cut down, Barozim Nachliv, we'll replace it with cedar. Or as their attitude was that the punishment is not from Hashem, it's not there as a warning. It happened, and if anything, they see the bright side in it, and it's just a sign that things will be even better. That haughtiness, what are they going to do? Where are you going to leave your honor? Perhaps it's like the Gemara says in Saita, that somebody has gaiva, if somebody's a haughty person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't dwell with such a person. Hashem can't tolerate a person who's a baal gaiva. Almitanu sul Ezra, who are you going to go fleeing to? We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that we should find refuge, like David HaMelech said in Tehillim Yud Ches and Shmuel Beis, Perikov Beis. Hashem is miskabi, like my fortress. Umanusi, my refuge. Moshi, the one who saves me, Mechamas Toshieni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deliver me from the violence. But a person should feel that whatever catastrophes, whatever he's dealing with in life, whatever problems, he can flee to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can run to Shul, run to the Beis Medrash, open up at Tehillim. He has someone who cares about him, somebody he has a relationship with. But if you act in this manner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be there to help you. Umatasu liyom pekuda. What are you going to do with the day of reckoning? Pekuda is when all the old actions are brought up again, they're remembered, and they're decided on. Liyom pekuda, as the Marikara mentions, when a person's nifter, that's obviously a yom pekuda, when his life ends. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges him exactly what the result of his years on this world were. And the Yom Pekuda can be certain times in the world is a Yom Pekuda. There's a Midas Hadin, a judgment on this world. And if a person didn't follow, it's also Mida Kenegan Mida. When a person is judged, when there's a Yom Pekuda, we look at how he judged others. If the people made false laws and they were stealing and their judgments weren't honest, what are they going to do on the day of reckoning when they themselves are being judged? There'll be a catastrophe from far away, referring to the king of Ashur that's going to come and exile the 10 tribes. If they pervert the justice, and it could be, it wasn't even, it's hard to know how bad it was. Lahatos midin dalim, to tilt, to turn away from the proper justice. the dalim, the poor, could also mean if a poor person came to a judgment, a person wouldn't strain himself, a judge wouldn't strain himself to make sure that justice is seen. It's not such an important case, perhaps. The judge thinks it doesn't involve that much money. And if he doesn't go into the depths of the halacha and strain and work on the case to make sure he's coming up with the truth, to make sure he hears the litigants. As Chazal say, if a judge treats one baal din, one litigant, better than the other, the opposing party feels like there's not even a point presenting a case. If a person doesn't feel he'll get justice, he can't argue his position that well. It could be the feeling was they were so involved in their partying and their good times and in their wealth, and they didn't care that much. The stress wasn't on emes and on truth. It could be the people didn't present their cases properly. The justice became perverted, and they're held responsible. In umatasu liyom pekuda, what are you going to do liyom pekuda? And it doesn't say umatasu be yom pekuda. What are you going to do on that day? But umatasu, what are you going to do liyom pekuda for that day? Because the truth is, a person should spend his life not being chas v'shalom depressed over it. Amir Tashem Gan Eden is going to be, that's the real place of enjoyment. But a person should think to himself where he's heading, la'an la'nataholeich, and a person should think, what's he going to do liyom when he gets to that day? A person has to prepare, now's the time. And the truth is, Chazal say, the truth is, now really is the time. In fact, the Gemara, the Chazal say, it says that a person should serve Hashem. V'zachores borecha b'mei b'churosecha. The last parak in Koheles. It says you should remember your Creator when you're young, before the bad days come. B'terem tovo shnas, the bad years, that you say, v'shanam asher tomar ein li b'hem chayfetz. There'll be a time that you say you have no desire. And Chazal say it's actually going on Yemos HaMashiach. That we don't appreciate it now. But Amir Tashem Mashiach will come very soon. And once Mashiach comes, the whole world will recognize as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everyone will be serving Hashem. Even the Goyim will, at the very least, be helping Klal Yisrael and assisting. Even if you hold all that's going to be removed is Shibud Malchios, that the Goyim won't make it difficult for us, but the whole world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a mitzvah you do then is not worth what a mitzvah is worth now. So a person, if he lived his life thinking that this is his opportunity, you know, if they'd open up the cemeteries and allow all the people to come back for 5 minutes, you'd see in 5 minutes they'd be running here and there and learning Torah and doing chesed. 5 minutes! They got 5 minutes to gather whatever diamonds they could. So a person doesn't have to wait till he's in that place. Right now, we got the 5 minutes right now. We got the time right now. Umatatsu liyom pekuda. What are you doing, liyom pekuda? You have to keep in mind there's a day of reckoning. Ulashoa. And before the catastrophe, Mimerchok Tovo, the king of Ashur is going to come from far away. As we've mentioned, their concern was with Aram, the Aramean kingdom, was with the ten, but they didn't realize that the main threat was going to be Ashur that would come from far away. For Anasazvu Kvodchem, where are you going to leave your honor? It could be, the Malbim says, the pshat is, when a person has, when there's a battle, when there's a war, sometimes a person thinks, how's he going to save his life? Al mitanusu Ezra, where are you going to flee? If a person's concerned with saving his skin, where are you going to run to? And others are more concerned with their life. They want to have their honor. They don't want to die a dishonorable death. They like to go down fighting. They like to at least end as a warrior. But if you want to have your honor should remain intact. Where are you going to leave that honor? Bilti korah. Tachas asir. This is a pasuk that can be explained in many ways. The Malbim says, bilti korah. the only way he's going to be saved is bilti kara, if he kneels and he becomes subservient. Tachas asir, in the place of the prisoners. He'll have to surrender and he'll have to be dragged off into exile like a prisoner. Bilti kara, unless he bends his knee and he humbles himself. Tachas asir, in the place of the prisoners. V'sachas harugim yipolu. Or if his main concern is not to stay alive, but he wants to have an honorable end, the only way is if he fights and he dies. V'sachas harugim yipolu. In the place of those who are killed, he'll fall. They're going to be exiled or they're going to be killed. But the Aseres HaShvatim is not going to continue. They've already had one punishment after another, and there's been exiles in stages, but we're now at the final point. Bechol zos lo shavapo. With all of this, Hashem's anger hasn't turned back, for Od Yadon Tzion, his hand is still outstretched till he's finished the punishment of the Aseres HaShvatim. This is the last time this phrase is mentioned here. This is referring to the final exile of the Aseres HaShvatim. It could also mean bilti kara. There are places where he never bent his foot, where he never kneeled. It's a strange land. He's never been there before. Tachas asir. And then he's going to find himself in this strange place as a prisoner. V'sachas harugim yipolu. And in the place where people are killed, that's where he falls. Mari Kora says, in order to save his life, he'll have to pretend he's a prisoner. Everybody will be in chains, and he'll stand there together with the prisoners, and the captor will assume that he's also chained. And then he can find his moment, perhaps, to escape. But the only way he's going to save himself is bilti kara, in the places where those that, unless he bends his knee, tachas asir, together with the prisoners. V'sachas harugim yipolu, and if there's a bunch of dead people, he'll lie down on the pile, pretend he's also dead, as has happened many times in history. But he'll have to pretend he's the one who's the prisoner with the prisoners, and he's the harugim together with the others who are killed. B'chol zos lo shavapo v'od yado netuya. But with all this, Hashem's anger hasn't turned back v'od yado netuya, and his hand is still outstretched. Now the Navi turns to talk about Ashur. The 10 tribes were supposed to be punished. They get their punishment. But hoy Ashur, woe is to Ashur. Shevet api. Ashur is the rod, the stick of my anger. Umatehu biyodi, biyodam zami. And like a staff, a rod in their hand, is zami, is their anger. Ashur is the nation that's conquering the whole world, and it's going to exile the 10 tribes. But Ashur doesn't realize that they're just a stick in the hands of Hashem. Once a nation has to deal with Klal Yisrael, they lose their bechira to a certain extent. Sometimes a nation can decide they don't want to be the ones to punish the Jews. Somebody else will do it. But if they're the ones that are accepting the mission, whatever they do is divinely ordained. And if Asher is punishing Klal Yisrael, that's what Hashem wants. And hoy Asher, woe is to Asher, shevet api. Shevet can mean like the staff that a ruler has. Lo yosser shevet mi Yehuda. And mata can mean the rod that actually does the beating. The Malbim says that explanation. Hoy Asher shevet api. Asher becomes the ruling empire. But it's just a source for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to direct his wrath. Umatehu biyodam, and they're the rod that beats people. But it's the zami, it's the anger of Hashem. That's what Ashur is. It's Ashur's just the pawn in the hands of Hashem. And it's a hoy, it's a woe. Because Ashur thinks, we're going to see in a moment in Pasuk Zayin, v'hulochein yedame. Ashur doesn't think that. Ashur thinks that they are a powerful empire. Asher doesn't realize that they're just a tool of Hashem. And that's what the woe is. They feel that they're able to do it and they're powerful, and it has nothing to do with them. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. Hoi Ashur Shevet Api. Woe is to Ashur, who was the stick of Hashem's anger, Umatehu biyodom, and he's like a rod in the hand of Hashem, Zami, for Hashem's wrath. Some of Forshim learn, there's a rule of Megalglim Zechusa Yidei Zakai. Merit comes out through somebody who's Zakai. If somebody did you a favor, somebody brought you good news, somebody helped you. So everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without a doubt, and your main thanks go to Hashem. But if he was the emissary, he was the one through whom you benefited, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him also. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him to, first of all, he had Bechira and he decided he wanted that job. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him that he should be the one to do it, to bring you this goodness. Megaglim Zechusai De Zakai. Merit comes out through those that are Zakai, that are innocent, that are meritorious. And Megaglim Choyvai De Chayav. Guilt comes out through those that are bad. And if Ashur is the one that is bringing the punishment from Hashem, if Ashur is bringing suffering to the world, we know that Ashur is terrible, and Ashur is going to get the punishment, and they're guilty, and that's why Hashem chose them. There's a very a novel approach from the Tzidkas HaTzadik, Rav Tzadik HaKohen. And I have a special joy because last night, or actually in the wee hours of the morning, I wanted to look it up and I couldn't find it. And I went to sleep and this morning I remembered where to find it. But it's in the Tzidkas HaTzadik in the paragraph Kuf Ayin Hei. And it's a very novel approach. I don't know if everyone thinks this way, but he has proofs to it. And in general, the Rav Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin is a very deep thinker and an original outlook. But I'll tell you what he says right now. Tzorech li zohir mi ligrum tzar l'shum beria. A person has to be careful not to cause pain to any creature, any beria. Afilu l'tzorech mitzvah. This is his chiddush. Even for a mitzvah, a person shouldn't be the one to bring pain. And he brings a Gemara in Baba Basra Dav Ches. Al kol lo chatzov. Hashem says, I'm going to remember those who oppress the people. And the Gemara says, afilu gaboi tzedakah. That if you have a person who's collecting tzedakah, and he pressures people to give, and he crosses the line between Godol HaMa'aseh, it's a great thing if you get others to give. But he crosses that line and he goes too far and he's oppressing the people. The Gemara says he's held to blame. And there's a story, Shlomo HaMelech had a tax collector. His name was Adoniram. And he was in charge of the taxes and he collected money so that people should give for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He collected that people should do work, he made sure to get the laborers. But he was an unpopular person because he had to get everyone to contribute. After Shlomo HaMelech died, his son Rechavim took over to be the king. And he sent Adoniram out with the taxes, and the people stoned him. And he was killed. And Rav Tzadok brings that down. He was in charge, Lachtsov Avonim, to have a tax that people should have to contribute to hew the stones out of the mountain. Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash, De'ein lecha mitzvah gedoy lemizu. There's no greater mitzvah than building the Beis HaMikdash, and nenash mida keneged mida, and rogmu bo evan. He says, it was a mida keneged mida. He was in charge of them cutting the stones out of the mountain to build the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they stoned him, because somehow he caused people pain. And mas, by definition, is a tax that is too much. In fact, it says, Achashverosh, he was called Achashverosh from the term Rosh. Everyone became poor, because it says, Vayosom HaMalach Achashverosh mas. Mas is a tax that is just too heavy for the people to bear. So Adoniram was in charge of that, and therefore he was killed. You have Sore Misim, Laman Anoso Besiblosom. Misim is a tax that's too heavy for the people. Valzen Enoshim Gam Kishehula Mitzvah. And Rav Tzadok says, even though it's for a mitzvah, they're punished for that. V'omru zichronim levrocha, that the stone that's used to stone a person, or the wood on which a dead person is hung, osid litein hadin. And that's why he says if people were mechuyev misa, bezdin fasted on that day. Ulakach hayu hasanhedrin misanim osa hayom lechapra al nafshosam. It's a novel approach, but Bezdin is judging a case, and there's a murderer, let's say, and he's mechuyev to be killed, and Bezdin is doing the mitzvah of seeing that he's killed. It's a mitzvah, and yet somehow they're causing pain. And therefore, he says they have to fast that day. The day that they give the death penalty, they fast as a kapara. It's sort of the type of thing that has to be done, and it's a mitzvah to do, but you're better off if you're not in that situation. And he says, Vahoreg shogeg, if somebody kills b'shogeg, you know, the Gemara has the classical example, he's coming down from the ladder and he falls and he lands on someone. The person who was killed deserved to be killed. Hashem had his reason why the victim had to be killed. And the one who did it had no bad intention. So it comes out he was a shogeg, he didn't plan it. And what happened was actually the person deserved it. And yet he writes, he's chayev golus, even though it's a mitzvah, v'yarta hara, you have to remove the evil, and the person who was killed deserved it. Mikomakom harigorein tsar. L'mala chas v'shalom. It causes pain even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain even when the Rosh is killed. And certainly if it's a tzaddik who suffers. It's a very chiddish approach to say, I know I've mentioned it to some and they were like surprised, I couldn't believe Rav Tzaddik would say such a thing. In other words, a mitzvah, we do know, it says when the people had to wipe out in Ir HaNidachas, if the whole city served idols, the city was wiped out. And there the Torah says, V'nosan l'cho rachamim v'richamcha, Hashem will give you mercy, and He'll show mercy to you. But it seems that that's a special promise of the Torah, that if you do the mitzvah of wiping out that city, it won't affect your own midos, and Hashem will still have rachamim for you. But that's a special promise for Ir HaNidachas. But in general, a person has to be very cautious with causing pain to others. And hoy Ashur Shevet Api, woe is to Ashur. Shevet Api, they're the stick of my anger. Umatahu biyodam zami, they're the rod that I use to vent my wrath. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish the Aseres HaShvatim, the rest of the world, and Ashur is now going to become the empire that's going to do that. But that's a sign that Asher themselves are guilty. Begoy chonef ashal chenu. I'm sending Asher to a goy chonef, a nation that's chonef, that's into flattery. They're not looking to correct each other. When they see a fault, they tell the Russia that what you're doing is fine. It's a goy chonef, a nation that's involved in flattery. To that nation, Ashalchenu, I'm sending Ashur. But they're there to correct the people. In fact, it's out of all the flaws and all of the faults that could be found in Aseres HaShvatim, on one hand, we're talking about how terrible they are, and on the other hand, the fault doesn't seem to be that great. But the fact that they're not looking to correct each other, the lack of tochacha, of correction, it's a goy chonef, and that's considered to be the fault for which they're being exiled and they're being punished.
One minute. This got a little jammed. 1 minute. I can't see. Okay, sorry. V'goy chonef ashalachenu. Against the nation that's involved in flattery, ashalachenu, I'm sending Ashur. V'al am evrosi, they're being sent against the nation that I have in anger. Evros is anger. I'm sending them against the nation that I'm angry at. Atzavenu.
That's who I'm commanding Ashur to go to. Lishlol Sholol, he should to take spoils, Volovos Baz, and to plunder the booty, Ulasumo Mirmos, and to make these 10 tribes trampled, Kechomer Chutzos, like the mud, like the dirt that's out in the streets. They're being sent against the Goy Chonif, a nation that's involved in Chanifus, in flattery. They're not correcting themselves, but they're there to improve them. The Amev Rossi, the nation I want to give my anger to, Atzavenu, that's where I'm commanding Ashur. And they're not there to kill people. Their main purpose is Lishlol Sholol, to teach them a lesson, to plunder them, Volovos Baz, and to take the spoils. And by taking their wealth again, hopefully they'll realize they'll be impoverished and they'll turn to Hashem. Very often when a person feels the financial pain, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing them to exile the Aseres HaShvatim, but Asher should have viewed their mission, Lishlo Sholo V'lovos Baz. Not that Asher is going to want to destroy the people. He's going to want to exile and destroy them. Ulasumo mirmos kechomer chutzos. I want to make them trample like the clay, like the dirt, chutzos in the streets. Where after the dirt is worked on, it's trampled, you can actually use that mud and that dirt or clay, and you can form vessels out of it. You can make something good out of it. If they get trampled by Ashur, perhaps we can make something with them, and we can correct Aseres HaShvatim. That's what the mission should be. It doesn't say that the 10 tribes would be destroyed, would be killed. That's what Asher should do. V'hu lochein yedame. But Asher is not going to think that that's his mission. He's not going to imagine that that's what he's supposed to do. Ulevovo lochein yachshov. In his heart, he's not going to think this. Ki lahashmid bilvovo. In his heart, He's going to plan to destroy them. Ulahachris goyim, and to cut off the nations, lo ma'ot. Not a little, but he's going to wipe out many nations. He's going to try to conquer the world. V'hu lochein yedame. He's not going to imagine that that's what he's supposed to do. Ulevovo lochein yachshov, and his heart won't think this. A person very often imagines. He has an imagination. He thinks. He has dreams, fantasies. And then when a person thinks and he puts his heart to what really should be, he realizes his mistake. Rav Yisrael Salanter wrote an Igeres HaMusar, which it's difficult. I don't have the best English translation or the best words to describe it in English. He writes it, it's very poetic, and it's something that touches the emotions about how a person should feel toward learning Musar. And he says, Ha'odom chofshi b'dimyono. A person is free in his imagination. In other words, he imagines whatever. He imagines he can do everything and there's no stopping and he can do whatever he wants. Va'otzer b'muskalo. But he's tied up when he puts his mind to it. If a person really thinks, a person imagines without really taking a reckoning and accounting. In his mind, he's free to do everything. And when he thinks about it, he's locked in and he realizes he's limited. Dimyono molicho shovov. His imagination leads him wild. Bederech lev ritzono, to whatever his heart desires. He doesn't realize why he can't. Why can't I do this and why can't I go here and do... He feels he can do everything. Bal yechas me osid havadai. He's not broken. He's not afraid of the definite future. Meaning, nobody lives forever. There's going to be as we said earlier, matasu yom pekuda. What are you going to do on the day of reckoning? There's no question. Nobody's escapes. Everyone comes to that point. And in his imagination, he thinks about it. He thinks he can do everything. He doesn't really give he doesn't ponder this. Somebody once pointed out, people don't like to think. They don't even like to think about themselves. Meaning, if you have a person driving in a car by himself, or somebody who's at home washing dishes. Very often people will turn on the music or put on the news or listen to something. They don't like when it's quiet. Like, you know, as if it's quiet and you're just quiet all by yourself and you have some time. It's almost as if a person's afraid to confront his own nature. In other words, he doesn't want to think about himself. In other words, he can even go as far, he'll go to daven, he'll learn Torah, he'll do chesed, he'll do everything else, but he doesn't like really think about himself. You know, what exactly is my character? Where should I improve? It's just people don't really like to come to grips with who they are. But in his imagination, in his fantasy, he's limitless and he doesn't really focus and take a reckon to what's holding him back. He says, Oy ledimyon, woe is to this imagination. Oyev hara hazeh. It's like an evil enemy. A person's enemy is the fact that he doesn't confront reality. Miyodeinu hu. It's from us, b'kocheinu l'archiko, and it's in our power to distance this dimyon. B'sitno ozen kasheves el haseichel. When you put a listening ear to the seichel, person has to listen out, has to be attuned to listening to what the seichel tells him. It's been pointed out that the truth is the Yetzirah, the power of the Yetzirah is in imagination. And we see it, the truth is you see it in the advertising. If you ever think about it, they used to have it, I think now these advertisements are illegal because the world realizing cigarette smoking is dangerous. But taking that as an example, they used to have the Marlboro man, you know, a guy riding on a Bronco and he's swinging his lasso. And you looked at him and you thought, wow, he's a cool person, he's, you know, whatever. They think, wow, he's a tough guy, you know, whatever they feel, he's a really tough guy. And he's got that cigarette and somehow they imagine, you know, holding the cigarette makes them somehow like that person. Oh, right, I'm saying they wouldn't imagine that his mouth is like an ashtray, you know, in other words, but the person who's, in other words, there's that imagination. Whether they're selling cars or whatever they're selling, they'll show you a product and they'll somehow convey whatever success they feel you'll get because of that. And the person somehow feels like if I do this and if I buy this, I'm all of a sudden a success. But that's the whole power of the Yetzirah. In truth, the substance, there's no substance to it. One of the words for Torah is tushia. The shorish being the word yesh. That there is. The Torah is actually, it's a reality. It's something. It's a fact. It exists. Everything else is a mirage. The Yetzirah fools you into thinking that this is going to make you happy. It's like, you know, the person who is dreaming and dreaming and dreaming of whatever it was that he wants. And then he gets it and he realizes right afterwards, there's no significance to it. But v'hu lochein yidame. Asher is like a stick in the hands of Hashem. But v'hu lochein yidame, he doesn't imagine that he's just carrying out the will of Hashem. Ulevavo lochein yachshov, and his heart is not thinking that he's just the stick that Hashem is using to beat Klal Yisrael or to give punishment to the world. He doesn't imagine that he's serving Hashem, and even when he thinks about it, he doesn't. Sometimes you. As we just mentioned, a person thinks, he has the Musar thoughts, he realizes his imagination is not reality, and he comes down to earth. But Ulevavo lochein yachshov. With Ashur, his heart doesn't think that way. Ki lahashmid bilvavo. In his heart, he has in mind that he's going to destroy. Ulahachris goyim. And he's going to cut off the nations. Lo ma'ot. Not just a few nations, but he's going to destroy them all. He has in mind to destroy. He's not out to improve, not to bring any benefit to the world. Kiyomar, because Ashur is going to say, Halo Sarah, Yacht of Malachim, my officers all together are kings. What Ashur did was he would conquer a country, and he moved the populace from one city to another. Similar to what Yosef HaTzadik, Lahavdil, did. He moved everyone around in the years of famine So Klal Yisrael shouldn't feel like strangers. Asher did the same thing, but for different reasons. If he would conquer a nation, and the nation would feel that they were subservient and they're conquered, at some point, they could turn and rebel against him. What Sancheiriv did was he conquered one country, and he put the people in a different land. He took the 10 tribes, and he exiled them. Then he took people from Kusa and from other nations, and he put them in Eretz Yisrael. That's, we have that whole story that the lions came and they were killing the people from Kusa, so the Kusim converted. They were getting killed by the lions. They realized in Eretz Yisrael, you have to follow the law of the land, you got to follow the Torah. They converted. But they still worshipped idols. And we're not sure, was it a good conversion? Was it a sincere conversion? Wasn't that once they were killed by the lions, they knew you have to serve Hashem? Or was this just a trick to save themselves from the lions? And that's the Machloikis and the Mishnais and the Gemara. Whether the Kusim, Ageri Arayas, Ageri Emes, whether they really converted. But that was Sancheiriv's plan. He took people from one country and he put them in another. And he kept their leaders, but the leaders weren't together with their people, and very often he would bring their kings to become his officers in the army. So he had officers from all the different countries. But everyone was moved around, they lost their identity, they were no longer Frenchmen or Englishmen or German, they were all in different countries. But halosara yacht of malachim, my officers together are all kings. My officers, each one of them was a king over separate countries. Halo kechar kamish kalno. Like I conquered the place, the city, kar kamish, I conquered kalno. Imloch arpar chamos, like arpar, I conquered chamos. Imloch damesek, like Damascus. Shomron, I'm conquering Shomron. So Sancheiriv looked and he said, you know, I conquered the whole world, nothing stopped me. Kasher motza yodi. As my hand found the ability, to conquer all those kingdoms of the idols. It was almost as if the nations were known by their idol. Like somebody will say, you know, Christian Europe or something like that. Or they were known by their city. And this is the nation where they worship Avodah Zarah of Zavuv. Or this is the one where they worship Baal. Or this is the one where they worship whichever Avodah Zarah is. Nevo. But halo imloch arpar chamos imloch damesek shomron, all these nations were conquered. Kasher motza yodi, when Sancheiriv and Asher found the ability l'mamlechos ha'eliel to conquer all the kingdoms of the idols, ufesileim, and their idols mirushalayim u'mishomron, from Yerushalayim and from Shomron. Rashi says, the idols of all the other nations, they were manufactured. They probably came with a sticker made in Yerushalayim or in Shomron. That's where it came from. Mikan Sherisha Yisrael. It's a very saddening Rashi. But Rashi says, Mikan Sherisha Yisrael, Hoyu Maspikim Demus Tzlomim Shalahem, L'chol Ha'umos. The wicked in Klal Yisrael exported their idols to all the other nations. Or that was a major import, at least for the Rishoyim. The wicked people were exporting the idols. And since those who worship the idols, as Rashi concludes, those who worship those idols, Naflu biyodi, fell in my hand, Sancheiriv said. Below Itzilim Pesileim, and obviously the idols didn't save them. Kach Shomron v'Yerushalayim lo tinotzol. So too Shomron and Yerushalayim will not be saved. By the way, these are all the thoughts of Sancheiriv. A detailed description of exactly what Sancheiriv said is mentioned later on in Prokim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. It's mentioned in Melochim Beis, Perek Yurches and Yutes. And over there he elaborates, but part of the chiruf and the giduf, the tremendous chil Hashem of Sancheiriv, was this message we see in these psukim. That the same way I conquered all the nations, and their idols couldn't help them, so too I'm going to conquer, we'll see afterwards, he's going to say he's going to get Yerushalayim. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mikinas Hashem Tzvokos Tasazos. The zealousness of Hashem is going to bring the Yeshua, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't tolerate that Chil Hashem any longer. That the same way the Goyim and these worthless idols couldn't withstand Sancheiriv, so to Chas V'Shalom to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not be able to withstand. But Kasher Motza Yodi L'Mamlechos Ha'Eliel, like I found the power to these kingdoms of the Eliel, the idols, Ufisileihem, this other Meforshim and Ufisileihem, their idols, Mirushalayim U'Mishomron, are more numerous than Yerushalayim and Shomron. There was every type of idol worship, and they all fell before Sancheiriv, and Sancheiriv defeated them all. Hello, is it not? Kashiro Sisi L'Shomron, as I've done to Shomron, V'le'eli Leho, and to the idols of Shomron, Kein Esel Yerushalayim, so too I will do to Yerushalayim, V'la'at Sabeho, and to the Atzabim, the idols of Yerushalayim. There's two different terms used for idols. Eliel means an idol, but it comes from the word al. It isn't. There's no power to it. And Eliel is realizing Pelahem velo yedaberu, einayim lahem velo yiru. They have the eyes don't see, the mouth doesn't speak. It's meaningless. And kasher sisi l'shomron, like I've done to Shomron and I've conquered them, so their idols obviously have no power. It's le'eli leho. Kein esel Yerushalayim v'la'at sabeho. So the idols in Yerushalayim have not yet been proven powerless. But Sancheiriv says, I'll prove that sure enough that I'll wipe out the idols that of Yerushalayim also. And as we in his message that he says later on, he mentions Yerushalayim also worshipped all the idols, but the idols don't help, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also won't help. V'hoyen will be ki yivatza Hashem es kol maaseyu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes all of his work, Bahar Tzion of Yerushalayim, and Har Tzion in Yerushalayim, and his work is to make Sancheiriv the mighty power that he is, that Sancheiriv is going to conquer the whole world, and he's going to exile the 10 tribes. And in Yerushalayim, there's going to be a Hirur Tshuva. There's going to be Chistiyo, and the people are going to turn back to Hashem, and they're going to learn Torah, and that will be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes his work. Ki yivatza Hashem es kol maaseyu, when he completes what has to be done by Har Tzion of Yerushalayim, on Har Tzion and in Yerushalayim, Efgod, then I will remember to punish al pri godel levav melech Ashur, on the fruits of the greatness of the heart of the king of Ashur. His heart has these haughty thoughts, and now he's going to get punished for that. Valtiferes Rumeinov, and on the splendor of the glory of his arrogant eyes. For the Godel Levov, that haughty heart, is referring to the conceit is referring, some of Forshim say, to what's called a nefesh rechava, a desire for everything. He wants to have all the enjoyments of this world. And if he's able to control it and he doesn't carry out his thoughts, he won't be punished. But al pri, once this thought brings to action, it brings to a produce, it's the pri of the godel of Av Melech Ashur, this feeling that he can take everything. He can rob and plunder and steal and adultery, and all types of sins are allowed because of his godel levov, his heart that is so expansive, and he feels he can have everything. He'll get punished for that. Baltiferes Rumeinov, and for the glory of Rumeinov, the fact that he's elevated his eyes and he's thought with gaiva, and gaiva even without an action, just the thought that a person doesn't feel that he's dependent on Hashem, and he feels he's so great, Sancheiriv will be punished for that. the pasuk started off speaking in third person. Ki vatsa Hashem, when Hashem carries out everything that He does, Bahar Tzion of Yerushalayim, Efko, then I will remember. Now, Barbanel mentions one possible pshat. Yeshaya says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries out everything that Hashem planned, Bahar Tzion of Yerushalayim, Efkod, then I, Yeshaya HaNovi, I will remember to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that point, I'll pre-go to Levav Melech Asher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, suffered enough, and they've taken the lesson. In Har Tzion and Yerushalayim, the people are doing tshuva, and they're serving Hashem. Efkod, I, Yeshaya HaNovi, will remember, I'll pre-go to Levav Melech Asher, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that haughty, expansive heart of Ashur, Valtiferis Rumeinov, and the glory of those arrogant eyes, that the fact that Sancheirah felt he was so great, and he could do whatever he wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring him his punishment. Ki Amar, because Sancheirah said, B'koach Yodi Osisi, with the power of my hand, Osisi, I've done. Uvechochmosi, and with my wisdom, Ki Nivunosi, because I have such an understanding, such wisdom. In order to be successful, it needs a good strategy. In order to win the war, v'derech hateva, in the natural way, you need a good strategy and you need to have good warriors, strong fighters. B'koach yodi, the power of my hand, Asher had the strength. And he had the wisdom. Uvechochmosi ki nevunosi, and with my wisdom ki nevunosi, because I have such understanding. V'osir gvulos amin. And I remove the boundaries of the nations. As we mentioned before, he would take the nations and he moved everyone around. And therefore the Frenchmen were living in Germany and the Germans were living in Spain and the Spanish were living in Africa and Africans were living. Everyone was moved around and the boundaries were also removed. The person living in this country didn't feel he was living in France. He had no connection with France. He just happened to be dumped on this piece of land. But everyone now had their own piece of land again, and they knew that they had no national identity. V'osir gvulo samim, and I removed the boundaries of people. V'asudo seyam sho seisi, and their treasures. Asudo seyam can come from the word osid, what's destined for them in the future, their nest egg, what they're saving for later in life. Vasudo Sehem, their treasures that they stored up, Shosesi, I've plundered them all. V'ori Kabir Yoshvim, and I've brought down, I've lowered, Kabir Yoshvim, those that are living in strongholds, and those that are so mighty, I've taken their wealth, I've lowered their strength, and I've moved around the boundaries in. Therefore, I control the whole world. Nobody is on his own firm land to stage a rebellion. They're all jumbled and they're all mixed around, and the leaders were chosen as officers for Sancheirah. Probably they were officers on other men that weren't from their country, but it was set up in a way that Sancheirah controlled the whole world, and nobody would be able to rebel and turn against him. The Gemara brings down in Brochus, in the fourth parak, a story with a Ger Amoni. Somebody came from Ammon and wanted to know if he could marry into Klal Yisrael. And we all know Ammoni v'lo Ammoni, Moavi v'lo Moavis, Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, that the men from Ammon and Moav can't marry into Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara brings this pasuk, that if somebody comes to you nowadays and he says he's from Ammon, he could marry into Klal Yisrael, because Sancheirah moved everything around. The people who live in Ammon are not from that nation. And that the Gemara relies on as a halacha, the mice of the Gemara paskins that the nations that live in Mitzrayim are not the ancient Egyptians, and the nations that live in all the different countries have been moved around by Sancheirah. V'osir gvulos amim, v'asudoseyam shoseisi, I've removed the boundaries of the peoples, I've plundered their treasures, V'ori Kabir Yoshvim, and the mighty, those that live in the strongholds and the mighty people, have been lowered. That's the way Sancheirah feels. He feels that it's all his own power and all his own wisdom. But as Yeshaya says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes what he has in mind, Ki Yavatza Hashem es kol ma'aseyu, when Hashem accomplishes what he wants to accomplish, Bahar Tzion of Yerushalayim, Sancheir will be remembered, and he'll get his punishment. Prigoto Levav Melech Asher and Tiferes Rumeinov, and Asher will be wiped out on Pesach. Stop here. Yeah.